Okay. So, so what have you guys been doing so far for
Sure. Well, we have our, you know, our basic website leads coming in. In around December, I sent out a three-letter sequence direct mail piece to one of the private schools that I got the mailing list to in the local area, and one kind of more of the high-end public schools that I got the mailing list to as well. We're doing occasional movie theater where we'll go there and we'll hang out for the day and try to catch leads for that. We've got our monthly buddy days that we're doing. We do occasional, maybe bi-monthly pizza parties. What else for the kids? We're going into schools and trying to set up. We've had a few going on where we do like after school classes at the school for 4 weeks and then bring them in here to the academy for like a graduation ceremony and then try to get them involved in the program. In the past, we've done PE teacher days, but we haven't got any of those lined up in a while. We're doing a weekly kind of community class to try to pull people in through, what's the name of that thing, Brennan?
Meetup and TX Kid Calendar.
So there's these two kind of kids activity calendars, and so we're advertising on them for a free by donation, just weekend class to bring the kids into. Do you have anything else on the top of the head what we're doing right now for kids?
So, we're in the thick of lining up our summer camp. So we have six complete yeses that we have lined up, and I've got about a dozen more that we're kind of still going through the conversation phase. I've got a pretty large fundraising campaign where we go to different nonprofit schools and community centers like YMCA and Boys and Girls Club and offer kind of by donation class, which would be they come to our regular evening kids class, and in lieu of like a payment, they would make a donation to the community center, and then they're advertising and mailing that out to their mailing list.
Okay, okay. What specifically are they advertising? What's the offer?
So the offer is a six-week, and I call it an empowerment class, character development and personal safety class, for a $79 donation to whatever the respective community or nonprofit center that they're members
okay.
of.
Okay. Let's not stop at anyone. Keep going through the list.
And then looking at that, I'm working on certain like business-to-business networking through nonprofits. Like we have a children's museum, as well as our OMSI, which is a big sort of science and industry museum that appeals to kids and families. A bunch of different like smaller companies, like a parent and family. Oriented cafe out of a little bit south of our location, several child care facilities, as well as some networking groups that I've joined as well to kind of get some business-to-business networking kind of off the ground there as well.
Okay. And you squeezed in there, you had gone to a couple of daycares and done programs there?
Ideally, yeah, that would be the hope is either go out and do outreach at the daycare or get active referrals from that daycare.
Okay, okay, good. And we have several others on the line here too. Who else has joined us?
This is Ben Booth from American Fork, Utah.
Yep, good. Okay, who else?
Chris Pline from Ever City, Michigan.
Okay, fantastic, Chris. Who else is on?
Hello, sir. Joe Pera, Central Valley.
Oh, here. Fantastic. Fantastic, Joe. Okay. Anybody else?
Thanks.
There's somebody talking there. Is that it? Okay. Maybe that's it. Okay. Well, good. Let's start with maybe from the top here, and that was a, you know, to tell you the truth, that was a pretty comprehensive list. In all likelihood, the biggest problem from a standpoint of the results that you're getting right now is effectiveness in each and every one of those things, as opposed to, you know, just having a long enough list of stuff to do. Would that be a fair thing to say, Jeff?
So yeah,
a lot of things are just not working very well.
Right.
And you know, let's kind of start to talk seasonally here for a second. The movie theater thing, you know, Fast and Furious, and as you guys know, I've done a ton of one-on-one calls in the last week here, and a few more tomorrow. And I'm pulling out from my mind just what March looked like for everybody that I can remember, you know, some that are worth discussing, right? You know, and we're here talking specifically about kids program and kids program marketing. And Steve White up in Manchester, he's on the call. I think he had a record month in March. He's a new Inner Circle member who's an old Inner Circle member who, you know, went away and found out the grass wasn't greener. Last month he did 90,000, predominantly focused on kids and families, which I think is a record. Greg Macy and Fort Collins has been doing a ton of enrollment traffic. Kids and families predominantly. He did 70,000, has been open 18 months. And then Amanda Christensen, one of our MyCruddy franchises here in Thornton, Colorado, she did 80,000. Steve was a record. Greg was a record. I doubt if Amanda doing 80 was a record. But it was a good month. That was about 42,000 in billing. And then about 35, 38 at the school, to give you a sense. And they are exclusively marketing to kids, predominantly community outreach activities. Ram De Pena is interesting because he did 150 leads. Now, I didn't do as good at getting appointments and still working on getting them in. But he did 150 leads at the movie theater for 3 days for the opening of Fast and Furious. And let me not skip over this. Avengers, which opens here first weekend in May, will probably be, they're projecting it to be the highest gross opening in history. And it's just perfect for our market, by the way. Much more on target than, say, Fast and Furious was. So, you know, everybody should be planning on being at the movie theater Thursday night, Friday, Saturday, Sunday for Avengers. That could be just a massive weekend, assuming you have a big movie theater nearby. And there's a bunch of biggies coming up over the summer. That'll be a good target. As far as I know, none that are specific martial arts stuff. But that doesn't matter a lot. Simon Chang, we had kind of an emergency call 2 weeks ago, and the emergency was he was doing 30 to 50 intros a night, not a week or a month, but a night, and about it was in the range of 400 leads. Three of the 400 leads had come from a big live event that they did, if I'm remembering correctly, which is about right. And then I think he had done about 75 leads that were predominantly advertising on summer camp. And most of their advertising was built around a spring break camp. But what they were doing, in fact, is just going ahead and rolling them into the normal program. The 300 leads, and they had a pretty good ratio, if I remember correctly, of having made appointments at them on the spot, was just a big open kids and family event that they set up a booth at for a couple of days. So to just give you some other thoughts, I'm trying to think of some others that have had really big results with kids and families. Is let's try to go through, like, real quick, since it's kind of our first season of special calls. Is some of what the checklist is of things that you can do, starting with free and easy, going to, like, free and a little bit labor-intensive, then going to And by free, I mean, you know, trivial costs, not sometimes not literally free. And then we'll kind of work on places you can spend money. You know, if I was going to have number one on my list for the next 4 weeks, certainly Avengers is number one. Number two is, and I'm going to be putting together thoughts about this, have any of you guys ever been to a Landmark Forum?
No.
No. It's Landmark Forum, though. It's an offshoot of ESC, which was Werner Erhard. And now they've got physical locations around the world. And I had a friend who had gone through it, and I really didn't even know they existed. They have a location here in Denver, but they have locations throughout the country. But I went to this. It was basically one of these things. It was Friday morning from 9 a.m. until 10 p.m., Saturday, same schedule, Sunday, same schedule. And these guys did a better job than anybody I've ever seen at really, really, really working referrals. And again, I'm gonna kind of put together my thoughts and notes on this. During that program, they had an evening event that was for graduates as well on Sunday night. And it was an hour of why you should bring all your friends in to do this on our open house on Tuesday, and an hour on why you should upgrade into the next event. And then they had about an hour and a half on Saturday morning after having given everybody an assignment on Sunday night to go invite three friends to come on Tuesday. They had an hour and a half session on, for everybody who didn't invite at least three friends, why didn't you? You know, what were the barriers? What was holding you back? What you should have said, could have said, should have done. But my guesstimate is that none of us are even scratching the surface on referrals. And when you guys were going through that checklist, I heard a little bit about pizza parties, and I guess I didn't hear anything about birthday parties. But on especially, well, you know, any level, adults or kids, is always good for referrals to be set up properly. With kids, it tends to be like the events and activities that kids go to already. Like, you know, in my case, my son Chase, his birthday is May 9th, so we're in the throes of setting up the birthday party. And where he wants to go to is a place called Dart Wars, and for 21 kids, it's $475. And to give you a sense of that is, you know, all these birthday parties for these kids, if they have, you know, more than a few people come, they all range from like $275 up to $600. I mean, it's not inexpensive. And but the way you get referrals really working for kids programs is really one of two things. And we did a video, Master Moody and I did a video that's up on the site that I'd really recommend everybody take a look at. And hey, I am Master Smith here. Hang on just a second. Hey there, guys. I've got Master Smith on the line. And Master Smith, what I was just talking about, which I would recommend you do, and your staff do as well, but I just went to a program. It's called Landmark Forum. And it's basically like, if you remember Werner Erhard, it's the evolution of ESC. But it's kind of like Tony Robbins' Date with Destiny seminar, with a little bit less cheerleading and jumping up and down and music, and a little bit more kind of group therapy oriented. But what I was just saying about this group is, they are as good as anybody I've ever seen at building their enrollment exclusively through referrals. And I was sitting in this thing just taking, now they don't want you to take notes because they want to be experiential, but I was pulling out the notebook and taking notes every time they got on their referral program pitch. And it's all built around, in order to make this change, you've got to enroll your friends into the change that you're seeing and into the one thing or another, but then it all ends up becoming that, look at how powerful this has been for you. Don't you owe it to wife, girlfriend, mother, father, sister, brother, friends at work, etc. to also have this benefit. And I was just saying that they spent they gave an assignment on Saturday night to go get three friends to come to their open house on Tuesday. Then on Sunday morning, they spent an hour and a half on why, if you didn't invite at least three friends, you didn't, and then how to rethink that, and then how to approach it, and then had everybody sit and role play what they would say to their friend to have them come and say it in a powerful way. And then they had a Sunday night session with graduates that was about an hour and a half of why you should all, about an hour of why you should all bring your friends on Tuesday for our open house or for our last day of the event, and about an hour of an upgrade. And then they have a Tuesday event, which is billed as the last day of the program. It's a three-hour thing. But mostly it's a day for you to bring all your friends and family down for them to get pitched on enrolling in the program. And they do it marvelously. But that's just what I was just saying is, and we have about six of the school owners on the line with us right now. Of course, we'll send the recording out for everybody else. But I would say number one on my list right now, to get the kids' program rocking and rolling in the next two or three weeks, is Avengers movie release. Is in all likelihood going to be either number one or number two highest grossing weekend of all time, is what they're predicting. And I, you know, you and I being movie buffs, I think we both agree with those numbers. It's going to be huge. And the Avengers movies, you know, I mean, I'll have Chase there on Thursday night at the 8 o'clock showing at E6, Jada will be with us at C13. So it's going to hit our market square on the head. The other thing I was getting ready to say is probably none of us are really properly and completely and effectively hitting the referral systems like we should. And you know, I was right in the middle of explaining that estimate that there's at least two types of referral systems. One is an event where 40 students show up and they each bring an average of 1.2 friends, right? So that's like what you did when we had our last meeting at Sterling, like the Glow Chug Night. Any kind of buddy day type of event. Then there's the other type of thing, which is the pizza party to celebrate your Goldberg graduation or birthday party, where one student brings 20 of their friends to one event, and then they all basically get a big intro. What would you add to that, Master Smith? And I want to give you a little time to talk about, you know, if you're struggling with building your kids program, you wanted to go out and to do it inexpensively in the next 4 weeks, where would you go? What would you do?
Well, of course you used my three that I would have done.
Yeah.
Those are our biggest home. Those are our biggest home runs.
Well, that's perfect timing. So let's just expand on that. So talk first about a movie theater promotion and what kind of results you might be able to get from Avengers.
Well, if we go back to when the Karate Kid came out, the most recent Karate Kid one, if it's anything like that, we'll double the enrollment in our school because we got just that summer alone, we got 180 new students. So, to do that, we had to have, we were getting over 2,000 leads, and out of those leads, we would have 1,200 show up. Out of the 1,200 that show up, now keep in mind the way that we did our spin wheel at the theater to claim their prize, they hadn't come to the school.
Exactly.
And to come to the school, they were doing their first orientation class. So out of those, we would probably have, out of 1,200, we would have 800 come back for the second lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And out of those 800 that came back for the second lesson, we had 180 enroll. And normally our numbers are much higher than that percentage-wise. But what happens is when you're going out and capturing a market like that, and you're using a, you know, the bait for the prize to come in. These are not as motivated people that see an ad or see your school and drop in or call because they saw an ad and they already have a desire for it. You know, they came to a movie and then all of a sudden we roped them into pursuing it as a new activity.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when you look at, let's say, 2,000 leads, and out of the 2,000 leads, we got about 10% of those 2,000 to come in and actually sign up is not a bad turnover.
Well, it's certainly a ton of enrollments, and the comparison might be here from Avengers Karate Kid is Avengers will triple or quadruple, you know, I have to kind of look at the stats a little bit to think about it for a second, but it'll do at least triple, if not quadruple, the growth on the flip, and therefore volume of people coming in, especially early in the opening, first couple weekends, first 3 weekends. On the flip side of it is it's not specifically, you know, why do we do karate? Do we do karate to fight? We do karate not to fight. I mean, it's not going to be laced with martial arts philosophy that entices the parents to be excited about their kids enrolling, right? Although arguably the first one was better than that than the remake. So it's going to do, Avengers is going to do a lot more volume. So you're going to get in front of an awful lot more people, right? So I think as we look at that, that's kind of the way to wait that one out. And Matt Smith, if you were looking at number of leads you got versus appointments that were made at the theater, what was that ratio typically like, as opposed to getting the information and trying to track them down from there?
What was the percentage on the people that we got the lead information from?
Yeah. If you got 100 leads, how many appointments at the theater did you typically get?
Well, we got about, I think we said we had 2,000 leads is what actually we loaded in, I think, into our system. And out of the 2,000, I think we had about 1,200 to 1,000 still up.
Okay. Well, good.
So we were running about 50%, but we were, you know, again, all of these people were coming to get a prize.
Yeah.
Number one, which increased our percentages. Normally, it's about 25%. In our normal movies, it runs about however many leads you get, you'll get about 25% of them to show up, and out of those 25%, we'll get 25% to sign up.
Yeah. And if I were to back that number back again, what we're kind of seeing in general terms is that we can get 75 to 80% of the people that we interact with at the movie theater to make an appointment at that time. So, and that was, like I mentioned earlier before you were on the call, Ram Bedania. His gap was he had gotten 100 leads at Fast and Furious, but mostly hadn't been making appointments at the theater. So now they're in the mode of chasing them down. Same thing was with Simon. Simon got 300 leads at one live event, but a lot of them, they were having to chase down and get appointments. Still was turning into 30, 40, 50 intros a night. Happy problem to have. So, you know, still a problem. But what our call was about is how to, you know, how to deal with the volume and convert them, to tell you the truth. But anyway, so let's open it up. Anybody have any questions about the movie theater promotion and how to get that to really kick butt, especially with this big opening coming very quickly?
What approach do you use to get in, sir?
This is Brandon here, Professor Jeff, KIDS Program Director. I'm curious, you mentioned how just to get the prize, about twice as many people showed up as opposed to just coming in for whatever. I'm curious, what prizes are on your spin wheel to increase that number to create that draw.
Well, the prizes that we had, there was everybody who spun the wheel, first of all, just for spinning, they get a guest pass for 2 weeks. Then on the spin wheel, whatever they got added on to that. So on the spin wheel, we had a bonus 2 weeks. So in other words, that gave them a month. Another one was a T-shirt. Another one was foam chucks with private class. We had a karate water bottle, a karate backpack, which was one of those little drawstring bags that has our logo on it that we give out to intros anyway. You know, little things like that. You know, your normal kind of a frisbee with the school logo on it. I mean, you're giving away, you know, normal things that you might give out at, if you're at a county fair or, you know, one of those local community events.
Yeah, none of them a year free, 3 month free, some big, you know, Nintendo or Wii game or, you know, no like big expensive stuff like that.
No bicycles.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
We did have free uniform on there also.
Yeah, and the other question I heard there, Smith, was in lining this up, and the most of the big theaters that you're going to interact with, their screen advertising is controlled by National Cinema Media, which we've dealt with, and we've negotiated member level pricing with them. And keep in mind, even from there, it's negotiable. What happens is, in most major cities, they have local sales reps. They're actually based out of Denver, but in most major cities, they have local sales reps. They control something like 85% of all the screens in the United States, and I think Canada. And so, in a lot of cases, that's the way you do it. Is you just figure out that chain is a part of their network, and I'll send out the links to their website here today in a few minutes. But you figure out the theater is part of their network, then you just go rent the booth. And, you know, we're usually able to rent a booth for, you know, low-end $500, high-end maybe $1,000. And what the range will be depends upon, you know, how big or small they know the opening weekend's going to be. So something like Avengers is on the high end. And then it'll be how big or small the individual theater is. So, you know, go ahead. But does that make sense to everybody?
Yes, sir.
Now, if you have a theater that's not controlled by them, that's independent, some of them may not be in the mode of they think of that as an individual business. Back when I started doing this with the first Karate Kid movie, and it wasn't a new idea. I had heard all the stories about the Junior Institute with Senator Jeff Smith doing this back when Enter the Dragon was released. But when you're in a situation where it's a theater that's not with them, that's you just go in and talk to a theater manager. And I always recommend doing as much as you can to build rapport with the theater manager and the staff there. So, you know, go take a bunch of students to a movie on Saturday morning, rent out the theater if you have enough people to do that. Patronize them yourself and make it obvious you're patronizing them yourself. And then offer to do giveaways for them to help promote this, you know, the location. Talk to them about, you know, you've been in the area for 22 years and you have hundreds if not thousands of families that you're interacting with on a regular basis, and, you know, both by email and by, you know, who are active students, how you'd love to help them with, you know. So the more you do any of this stuff of what's in it for them and all the different ways you're going to help them grow, you know, their location, the better off you are. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
But in the cases of the ones with National Cinema Media, a big opening like this, I mean, really the thing to do is just, you know, call the sales reps for your area and rent the booth. You know, and they have all kinds of things they can sell you. They can sell you, you know, slides on the screen. They can sell you posters on the wall. They can sell you 30 or 60-second commercials in front of the movie. There's nothing wrong with any of that stuff, but if I'm paying, like, anywhere near their face rate and all that stuff, really the thing that I want is I want the booth set up, and I want a human being manning the booth, and I want to be talking to everybody as they come through. Would you disagree with that, Mr. Smith, or is there anything else you've had a lot of effect in this with?
No, I just think that whenever we've done it where we didn't get the lead, the percentage that show up for the people that we get off of that is usually, you know, we might get 15 or 20 people call us or inquire. But, you know, if you don't get their contact information, that's a must, number one. But what we found that more than double or triple your show rate is if you actually make the appointment.
Yeah.
And we, you know, and that's the three-step approach. You know, everybody used to hand out their business cards or a brochure or a flyer or something, thinking those students would call them. And then we got a little smarter and we started getting contact information. And then we got real smart and started making appointments with contact information.
Yeah, yeah. And the making the appointment on the spot, as you just said, triples the likelihood that you're going to get them in for an intro. It doesn't mean you don't still have to call them and text them and email them and send them stuff. But what happens when you're doing all that is you're doing it to feed them additional information and confirm an appointment they already set, rather than trying to, you know, chase them down to schedule an appointment after the fact. You know, the chasing them down after the fact, you know, as we all know, what happens nowadays is it's hard to get people to answer the phone. So outbound telemarketing is, you know, go to the list, start, stop, you know, kind of a never-ending cycle. So that's an important thing. But let's get to the other topic of referrals. How would you prioritize referral events in-house, and what kind of results are you getting with that?
Well, you know, it's our second biggest form of marketing. We find that referrals are twice or even more than twice as solid of an appointment as somebody that we're collecting a lead from that's even motivated, because they have somebody in the school already selling the program for you.
Yeah.
And half the time they want to get in because their friend is doing it, so that's, they're going to come anyway, and they're probably going to join unless you screw it up somehow.
Right.
So our best and our highest percentage on enrollment. That's why we like to do a lot of buddy referral activities. You know, and we consider birthday party a buddy referral activity. We consider, you know, like the Nunchuck Glowchuck seminar. You know, we have a buddy week each month designated to referrals.
Yeah,
that's how much importance we place on it. And you know, whether we get 5 or 10 that show up for an event that bring a buddy, or whether we have 40, we always have a very good percentage that will sign up from it. Now, everybody that does come on the buddy week, we do give them 2 weeks free to really get to feel our program. We don't try to enroll them there at the buddy event. We just thank them for coming and give them a two-week pass and set up the appointment. Again, it goes back to our old system of their buddies all came in and we gave them a guest pass for 2 weeks and then we never heard from them. Then we started collecting their contact information, and then we found that just like the theater, when we started making the appointments, we had a lot more shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Big difference. Let's take like an average birthday party, for instance. So, and let's run through a buddy event type of thing, and then an average birthday party. An average birthday party. What would you estimate is the average number of people who show up for one?
15 to 20.
Okay.
And that's not the smallest we have is 10. They have to have at least 10 to book a birthday party.
Okay. And
or what we started doing because people don't like to because you're not inviting a lot of people. What we started doing, we found that people got offended when you did that. Same thing for pizza parties. What we do is we double book them. So we'll have two parties going on at the same time.
Okay.
And that party of 10, we tell them, I said, because you have 10, you will be using our small room. If you would like to have our larger room, we need 15 to 20 people confirmed.
Right.
So that way we can always put that smaller party in our little practice room, which we use as an intro room anyway, and they can have their little thing going on while the big group's going on in the other. Now, we've had as many as 40 in a birthday party, but, at 20 tends to be the norm, 15 to 20.
And what kind of ratio would you tend to get from there?
If we get 15 or 20 into the birthday party, 50% of them will actually come, and out of that 50% will sign up is our pretty much average. And it goes higher one month, and it might go lower one month, but over the course of a year, we find that's about it.
Okay. And then what I would ask for everybody is the schools that I've seen that are doing huge numbers of enrollments from birthday parties is, truthfully, a lot of the enrollments were from direct mail, from email, from text messaging. It was put them in the follow-up sequence and follow up with them for a year, 2 years, 3 years, right? So what happens with an event like a birthday party is, again, take Chase's birthday on May 9th, is a lot of the kids who maybe show up with his birthday party at the karate school, they're not looking for a new activity right now, but they might maybe looking for a new activity for back to school. And so in essence, you're looking at two things that may feel a little contradictory. One is, if you don't get them enrolled right now, you've lost a huge opportunity, so you really, really work on those ratios immediately. Don't let them fall through the cracks. Make sure you make an appointment. Make sure that they're, scheduled for a follow-up lesson, all that stuff. On the flip side of it is you make sure that you're following up with everybody who came into a birthday party essentially forever. But let's go back to the buddy events then, Matt. So how will they look on average? Maybe let's do a short list. What are 5 or 10 different rationales for having a buddy day that you've done in the last few months?
Well, the thing is, when we used to have just buddy day.
Mm-hmm.
And then we found that on one buddy day, we weren't getting, we can only get so many people coming in at one day. Maybe 15 or 20 will be coming in on one day because the facility, if all of our students bring them, about 40 is the most we can handle in any group.
Yeah.
Because it really limits your space, especially depending on what you're doing on the buddy day.
Yeah.
So what we start doing is having buddy week.
Yeah.
And what we do in buddy week is any of our students, regardless of what belt they are, each day we have a theme that we're doing, and they can come with a buddy on any one of those days. And if they're a brown belt or a black belt, they come with their buddy to the basic class. So all of the buddy activity is geared around the basic class. Because we want the basic class to have fun too.
Yeah.
So that's the main purpose for having it like that. We don't want to have a red belt class of a brown belt class and have beginners in there and have to actually slow the class down and not be able to cover the curriculum they need to do.
Yeah.
Now, every once in a while we'll do like the Glow Chuck seminar when it's a really big special event like that, and we do the same thing with board breaking seminar. We'll do that on a weekend, and we'll block off and have a beginner where they can bring a buddy, or we have an advanced.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that type of scenario, you can get 40 or 50 people in, and we'll do two of them, and that way we're able to get, you know, even, you know, 50 to 100 in one weekend.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Okay. And what kind of ratio would you say on average from a buddy do you have a tendency to get? I mean, and of course, you know, maybe start with an awful lot of people do big buddy events, but they don't get any buddies to come in. So there's a whole science to promoting it. So maybe why don't we talk about that for a minute and talk about what kind of ratios tend to happen.
Well, the hardest thing is to get their contact information. Because what happens is kids want to bring a buddy, but they don't want to let us know who the buddy is.
Yeah.
They just show up with a buddy. And it's, you know, when we used to do it like that, 9 out of 10 of them, there would be no parent with them. So
yeah.
We have our parents bringing some other kid in for a special buddy day, which now we have no contact information. All we have is a kid who might be excited about it. We don't have a parent there. So what we started doing is have a form that they have to fill out before somebody will come in for a buddy day. They do have to take the slip home and have that kid's parents fill it out. And that kid brings it with our buddy when they come.
Yeah, good.
Now, And even though in best laid plans, 80%, if we're lucky, will show up with that form, and then you've got the other 20. And what we try to tell them is it's a permission slip,
mm-hmm.
because we really are taking a risk having
sure.
some kid in that we don't have any kind of release from.
Mm-hmm.
So what we have to do when that kid comes in is we have that parent that brought the kid sign the permission slip.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's or the instructors will go have them call home and hear it from the parents. Is it okay if they sign it for you? But it's more prevention versus cure.
Yeah. Well, and of course, when they call the parents, they you know, get email address, phone number, mailing address, schedule them for a follow-up appointment. I mean, you know, there's a multiple reasons for that call. Want to make sure nobody missed that point. Well, good, good. You know, we've been at this for about 45 minutes. Who has some specific questions on any of those points that Master Smith? Is this all making sense to everybody?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I guess one question, sir, is what are you doing like maybe 2 weeks prior to promote and get the kids to want to bring their friends in to make it to where they have a good turnout and a lot of kids show up?
I forgot all about it.
We got a little bit of that background noise. Matt Smith, you want to answer that?
Yeah, again, we find that we actually have the best results of the buddy days with our beginner students than our advanced students. And the beginner students are usually pretty excited about their friends coming in to see what they're doing. So you can't get the kids too excited. You can only get the parents excited about it. And you know, just by personally, if you put a sign up and you put a newsletter out and you say Buddy Week, you know, you might get a couple of people coming in. What we do is we go personally to each parent and ask them, does Tommy have a friend? that would like to come in for our buddy day. The reason we like to do that is a lot of times when the children are training, we find that they have a lot more fun when they have a friend here doing it with them. So if he has a neighborhood or a school friend that would like to come, this would be a good opportunity. We don't give them any special incentive, like if you do that, we give you a free this or 20 or cash this or that. We find that our students will bring people based on how happy they are with the program. And so it's a good thermometer to see that you're reaching each of the students and you have a happy parent and a happy student. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And let me anchor in some for a second, Master Smith, is what we all have a tendency to want to do is do, like, the easy approach of broadcasting to everybody, right? So, you know, let's take an example of lining up birthday parties. Well, you get a big full-color banner, and you put it on the wall, and you hang it up for all the students and parents to see. And maybe once a year somebody asks you about and schedules a birthday party. On the other hand, every new student you enroll, you say, well, Billy, I see that your birthday is coming up in June. One of the things that we do is we do a birthday party here at the school for you, and then you schedule it right then and there. Well, your numbers increase exponentially, right? And so if you think of the range of how these things work, if I want to promote something, or if I want to accomplish a sale of any sort, sitting down next to Mom on the bench and saying, hey, Ms. Jones, I want to make sure you knew that we have the Buddy Day and here's the schedule of events and what's going on. And I want to check with you who that Joey's friends with at school might really enjoy coming with him and, in fact, might benefit from the program. Can you think of one or two of his friends at school that might really enjoy it? Great. Who is that? Okay, fantastic. Let me give you permission slips for them. Does Joey do Boy Scouts, Cub Scouts, Tiger Cubs, something like that? Or what other activities? Oh, baseball. Okay. Who does he know at baseball that might really enjoy this? Here, let me give you permission slips for them. Does he do after school daycare or something like that? Oh, okay. Does he have any friends there? Okay. Any friends in the neighborhood who might really enjoy this, right? And, you know, Tom Hopkins 101, he calls it Isolate Faces, is you say, who do you have as friends who might like this? They sometimes draw a blank. You say, who do you know at work who might like this? Or who does Joey know in the neighborhood who might have a lot of value to this? It changes the dynamic, and now they're searching through, 20 or 30 kids from his school program or 15 kids in the baseball team or whatever it is to think of who he likes and would like to come down. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Matt Smith, anything to add to that one?
No, I just think that it's important that you reach each one individually. We have signs up and we announce it to the kids, but we find that the direct response rate is going to be based on personal contact, even when you just have something up.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, and let's take two or three minutes to kind of go through really simple and easy stuff, but things that do work, right? Is you had mentioned before fundraiser campaigns, and you were doing, I think, a six-week empowerment class for, was it $79 or something like that?
Yes, sir.
That idea, you'll hear me refer to it as Children's Hospital flyer. But one is that's kind of like a Groupon deal where we found through experimentation it's kind of the lower the price point, the bigger the response rate is going to be. Obviously, the less per person you give back to the charity, but if you do it as $27 or $29,
for $47, you'll find the response rate go up. Number two is that's the type of thing as a charitable fundraiser that you can get going where you print, say, 100,000 at a time or 30,000 at a time and can get all of the elementary schools, public and private, the daycares, get them to pass it out. You can get it on the Pizza Hut, Domino's, et cetera, pizza boxes being distributed, et cetera, right? And so depending upon who you're going to, you can go to events and organizations that have access to a lot of people who are looking for some other rationale for those people to donate money and get them to sell it and collect the money and then give you the leads. Or you could get it where very highly respected local charity, I gave this idea to Tim and Dave Kovar, and they did it for their local teen center program. And they started having the stage when they were giving it out because they were getting such a flood of people that they were getting overwhelmed. So that's an idea that, again, can be very inexpensive. The only cost really is in you printing the flyers, and sometimes the charity actually prints it up for you. And then it gives you a flood of traffic, and traffic's kind of like Groupon, so you want to make sure that if they haven't paid for the deal already, that they pay for the fundraiser offer before they take the first class. And then you want to prep them for, I know you just paid $47, thank you for making the donation to, say, Children's Hospital. If you want to go ahead and finalize your enrollment next class, we give you a $300 discount. And you still get the free month. So you want to have just like a Groupon offer. And all of them, you want to make sure you always convert them at the first and second lesson. If you wait until the end of 5 weeks, then your ratios go to hell. Does that make sense? But
yes,
the other quick couple things I cover, and then we'll pick up on this next time, is the rack card thing works really well. And on the member site, we have all kinds of different versions of artwork and so forth. We have a new printer lined up who can do all this stuff for you very inexpensively. Who are, you know, they're really on top of this now. And with the rack cards, and everybody, I think everybody knows what I'm talking about, is just usually a full-color, two-sided cardstock that goes in a rack card holder, and you go out to the local business and put them out. Now, the thing about it is it's super inexpensive. Maybe a buck per place that you're putting these things out. And it's super easy to get them out. But a lot of times when we talk about that, what somebody will do is they're in the shopping center with 10 merchants, and they go talk to 10 of them and get 5 placement out, and then they're worried about why they're not getting any traffic. When I say rack cards, I mean probably worst case 250 different locations, and best case is as many as you can possibly get out and manage effectively to keep refilling. So if you have, say, 250 locations out, oftentimes that's good for 3 to 6 enrollments a month just from that. And 300 locations, really the cost, dollars and cents, is maybe $500. The other thing is those little bandit signs. They're called bandit signs because in most places they're not really legal. But what you do is, you know, you can either go put them out on Friday afternoon and collect them on Sunday evening, or, frankly, the signs are cheap enough. You just kind of keep moving around and figure out places you can put them that aren't likely to get thrown away, where you're not likely to get in trouble, and you just keep rotating them. Smith, you still have quite a few of those out for Sterling?
Yeah, we do those on a regular basis, and you know, if you rotate them around, we have a little map put out, and in the map, we will track it for 90 days to see what kind of traffic we have coming back, how long the sign stays there. You know, on the average, they stay there a week.
Yeah.
We have some that have been there for a month and are still there. We have others that, you know, they're gone the next day. So,
yeah.
And you don't know that if that's, you know, the neighboring schools or if it's somebody who, community, county, you know, personnel, or somebody around a shopping center or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, the bandit signs are only as good as the place you put them.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, what happens to some of the guys is they'll go order 10 or 20 of them, and then they'll put them out, and they'll get really bummed out that they got thrown away, and they won't do it anymore. But the reality is it's a very inexpensive thing. And as you said, you just know that, you know, some of them aren't going to last very long, and some of them are going to be a little longer. One of our guys put some out, and the city inspector guy gave him grief and, you know, threatened to write a ticket. And my immediate question was, well, is your school like 5 miles radius all the way around? Is it all covered by that one guy? Or are there other cities in unincorporated areas? Well, it turned out that was only about half. Well, fine, let's go get them out in all those other places. And by the way, in that area, if you want to put them out on Friday at 5 and pick them up on Sunday, you know, there's no such thing as a civil servant who works weekends, right? And positions like that. So
well,
you can do that as well.
It's also where you put them.
Yeah.
You know, if it's you know, a main intersection, you know, then you're gonna get more county people. If it's you know, around malls, around schools, you know, any of the high traffic areas, there's more county people more on the main roads than the other side roads going into developments and places like that are always good.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of times you put them on private property, you know, the grassy area in a shopping center or something, and a lot of times they patrol that a lot less. And sometimes more. I mean, you know, if it's a major shopping mall, they may have security guys out, like, yelling at you as you're putting them out. But there's a lot of options on that. Guys, we're at about an hour. We're about out of time for today, but I wanted to do kind of a whole series of interactive stuff. Any last question or two for myself or Master Smith on that, and then we'll follow up again next week. This week we're going to do the special call with Commissioner Carrick, and then a week from Thursday we have our interactive Inner Circle Peak Performers call, and then what we'll probably do is the week after that is schedule another kids marketing specific focus. Yeah. So anyway, anybody have a quick question or two before we ring off today? No? Well, that's easy. If anything you have, zap it over by email. And we did record this. Hopefully the recording came out clear. So I will make sure that we send the recording. I'll send that National Center Media information out to everybody. Max Smith, would you send me over the permission slip you're using for Buddy Days? Probably no different than most of the other stuff that we're using. But I could send that out for them as well.
Okay.
Okay. And just a reminder, we're going to be there in Sterling, and Master Smith, our point of focus, while we have everybody out there, is about 75% upgrade systems and about 25% referral systems. So we're going to have you and your team go through that extensively for everybody. Well, great. Well, thank you, Master Smith, and thanks for everybody else joining on the call. Jeff, hopefully this is good for you guys, give you some forward momentum here, and then we'll...
Yeah, thank you, sir.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.